80. We don't have a full quorum yet here. It's only Representative Parnell and I. But we did have someone we wanted to hear from. Actually, who isn't on, hooked up yet. Representative Parnell, if you want to offer any brief remarks, I'd make them brief because you're probably have to repeat them when more committee members come. So.
Oh, really? Well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pat Carney, sponsor of this bill, House Bill 480. House Bill 480 would remove the requirement for individual employees of a hearing aid dealer to be bonded. It would also increase the amount of bonding for the dealer to increase from $5,000 to $10,000 if the dealer has employees. The department supports the changes. We would recommend allowing a certificate of deposit payable to the state of Alaska in trust for the license to be inserted everywhere a bond is mentioned. Some insurance companies do not like writing small bonds. Additionally, some licensees prefer to earn interest on their money. The certificate of deposit does not have a premium fee for its purchase. And you have a committee substitute, Mr. Chairman, that incorporates those suggested changes. And there is a gentleman on the line who originally requested this bill. More of a housekeeping bill than anything else. It simply gives the hearing aid dealers the option of having one bond to cover all his employees. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Carney. Jim, are you there online? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can, just fine.
Sure, if you could state your name for the record and offer any brief comments you'd like, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, what I'd like to just make mention of is that the current structure doesn't provide, I haven't heard all the prior testimony, but the current structure doesn't provide for someone being able to dispense hearing aids as an employee. Each dispenser right now basically has to set up their own business through the bonding and licensing, even if they do work for someone else. One of the main purposes for instituting the current licensing and bonding requirements was to stop unscrupulous business practices that was being done in state, especially by those that were coming in temporarily from other states and then disappearing. But this change in the requirement still provides protection against any who would not conduct business in an honest manner, but it also provides a way for individuals to work as employees in dispensing hearing aids. And then this would not only provide needed employment to people in our state, but better and greater quantity care for those who have hearing impairment. That's what I wanted to make mention of.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions for witness? Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As an employee, you're considering that person to be an employee rather than an independent contractor. Is that what you're referring to?
Correct. That's the way anyone has to be treated now into everything else as an employee, taking out taxes, workman's comp, everything else like that. So they would not be subcontractor. And that's the way it is across the whole United States. Eric Lear's been recommending to all their franchise owners that everyone should be treated as employees and not as subcontractors.
Okay, I appreciate knowing that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the department does support this. Ann Bordeaux had planned to be here. She testified that he has in favor of the bill, and the amendment that deals with the certificate of deposit was suggested by the department. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else
want to
testify on this legislation? Is there any objection for the committee to pass this legislation?
Who was individual
recommendations? Is there objection? I'm just joking. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your testifying. We're going to hold this until we get a few more members, but you're welcome to stay on the line, but it may be a little while, so.
Well, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any more questions or anything, huh?
No, so we probably ought to just end the teleconference here. We really do appreciate your taking the time to join us all.
Okay, well, I appreciate everyone's attention to this matter and the time, too.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Mr. Bordeaux has arrived if you wanted to hear some testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, might as well. Can you join us, Ann?
Okay, so we're all still conferencing?
We're off now. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I understand from speaking with Catherine of your office that there was a CS that cleared up some conflicting language from before NICS, so. Yeah, and I think that as written, it's fine. We did do a supplemental position paper, which I believe you have, that changes our earlier recommendation of removing licensure as well, and just correcting the bond issue and leaving it in effect for 3 years after we cease doing business, so that somebody has the right to make a complaint afterwards, rather than 3 years after cancellation, because it would be pretty hard to.
Let us sort of put things on hold for 3 minutes and see if anyone shows up. And if not, we'll put both these bills in the top of the calendar tomorrow. This bill and Representative Sharpe's bill. Yeah, I think the lesson of some of these things is I need more than one bill on some of the calendars to get people here, you know. While this bill is fairly important, it probably doesn't drive people. That's a joke.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything in writing. Had you called the other bill already, or 317?
We held it over yesterday. We held it over till today. If we get a quorum, we'll hold it over till tomorrow.
Okay. There was something, I don't know if you would want me to. I looked up that second question about why we didn't accept money from one individual.
Sure, why don't you join us? And it's sort of a side issue that relates to
him. Right. And I double checked, and he actually was wanting to put up $500,000.
Cash,
except the money was in a bank in New York State, I believe. And one of the things that we had said to him was, with it being in a bank from out of state, we have no way of regulating that bank if we made a draw on the money and they didn't give it to us and so forth, because we have no control out of an out-of-state bank. We also were advising him that we did mention that it didn't say cash deposits in the statute, but we were also telling him some other reasons why we thought that it might not be in his best interest. And apparently when there's a certificate of deposit made payable to the state in trust for a person, such as we do with contractors or concert promoters, the person actually is earning interest because it's a certificate of deposit. When it's cash, it's actually deposited into the general fund. The state draws interest on it, the person doesn't. And we felt with $500,000, you certainly wouldn't want to be forfeiting that interest. And
do they seem to understand that point?
I thought that they did, except for the fact that he made reference to it, like, well, why wouldn't they take my money? But he might have wanted to put the money. Well, he wanted to leave the money in the bank account that he already had, but it wasn't clear whether it was his bank account or somebody else's bank account where they were going to kind of like be in effect vouching for him or I would say co-signing, but except it's not alone, but of that sort, that he had somehow access to this account. That was not really clear to us. And the other thing was that we have, just like with the hearing aid dealers that we had here, there is a holdover period to see if claims arise. And the holdover period required by the state there was 6 years from the date that they ceased doing guide outfitters. So that would be an awfully long time to leave that money up, both not having access to the principal and if you didn't draw any interest for it. And then finally, they weren't sure whether or not in cases of actual cash deposits, generally those are not guaranteed in cases of bankruptcy. You know, somebody else could have a claim against that money and it could be wiped out. So for all those reasons, we felt we didn't have the authority, he wouldn't get the interest. It was an out-of-state bank. It wasn't clear if it was actually his bank account or not. And the retention for 6 years afterwards, we didn't really think that was a good idea. And we wrote a letter outlining all of that. But, yeah, he appears to be of some sort of substance. We had also checked it out with the AG's office, and they were the ones that suggested a couple of those things about that we had discovered on our own, and they also were trying to define for us the difference between a bond and cash. And what Gary Amendola had said in October of 91 was that basically a bond is a contract to step in if the surety doesn't follow through, and it's, say, less desirable than an insurance policy, as there are more questions on how one files for relief against the bond. And he had suggested that we advise the applicant to consult with their own attorney, because we shouldn't be, you know, giving him legal advice. And we wouldn't want to give specific language for how to do a bond or a contract. But, you know, we were trying to go with the statutory intent. We weren't sure if that would do it. So, you know, in some ways it does seem like it's the old, we can't take cash, you have to have a credit card type of thing. But I think there was more to the issue than that. But then, he's the only person that's ever brought that up. And in looking at these large amounts of money, the only people that typically want to do a certificate of deposit, we're talking between $2,500 and $10,000. And they figured, yeah, I'd rather earn the interest on it, and I get it back. It's not like a premium for insurance that's gone with the wind and so forth. And a lot of people in business can post $2,500 or $5,000 or $10,000, but this $100,000 per seat would probably be beyond the range of most folks.
Thanks for looking at that. Well, our time's up. We will hold these bills over till tomorrow.